1st of June 1932. Derby Day. Dull but no rain. Much warmer. Hearing Mum ask Dad to put a shilling each way on Miracle, I assumed he would not do so. So, after consulting as to what happened when one plays such a bet, I resolved to do it for her, and, if no result ensued, to say nothing about it, whereas, if I did win anything, I should give it her. April the 5th, 1st. Dastur, 2nd. Miracle, 3rd. This was the result announced by radio, and turning to the morning's paper, I found the odds quoted would just about enable me to get my money back. 2nd of June 1932. Was gratified to receive 3 and 9 pence for my bet yesterday. A clear profit of 1 and 9, as the odds on the horse had gone up to 11 to 1 just before the race. 4th of June 1932. Met Mum and Dad outside the Lion House at the zoo in Regent's Park, where we ate our sandwiches. Spent a very enjoyable afternoon looking at the monkeys, birds, parrots, reptiles, insects, elephants, giraffes, reindeer, bears, penguins, goats, sheep, raccoons, etc. and fed some of the animals with some rice and onions we had bought for that purpose. Left the gardens at 7:30 p.m, half an hour before closing time. Arrived home just before 9 o'clock, and after having tea, it got so cold that we went to bed to read. But I was so tired after I had read a page or two that I turned out the light and went off to sleep. 8th of June 1932. In passing up Regent Street, I called at the highway's motor coaches place to try to find out particulars of running and prices to Cromer, where Mum, Dad and I have booked for our holiday. Unfortunately, these people do not run there from London. On the way home tonight, I called at the carpet shop in Green Street and asked there. There seems to be a suitable one leaving Victoria at 2:30 p.m, going right through to Cromer. All others only go to Norwich, where one has to change, where it arrives at 9:40. The fare is 18 shillings. 11th of June, 1932. Having donned my best togs, I met Mum and Dad inside Olympia to view the Royal Tournament. We saw plenty of very clever horse jumping, and particularly good items were the motorcycle display, the rope climbing exhibition, drill by recruits of the RAF, and the pageant at the end dealing with the creation of the first Prince of Wales. As there were so many people when we came out, we walked through Earl's Court and through Brompton Road to South Kensington Station, where we had a light tea at the New Lions, and then walked through Chelsea to the Victoria Coach Station in the Buckingham Palace Road. It is a fine building of the modern design, with plenty of open space and daylight. While we were there, an Eastern Counties coach arrived from Cromer, and judging from the number of people and amount of luggage coming from it, it looked none too comfortable. I had several letters from Grandma, Auntie Ethel, Aunt Nora and Mrs. Franklin and Millie congratulating me on the 21st anniversary of my birth. Aunt Nora enclosed £1 and Grandma 10 shillings, which will go towards equipping the bike with electric light and a pair of waterproof trousers for myself. 7th of June 1932. Called at the Rego on the way home and collected my new brown sports suit. £2.11 and 6. It consists of coat, trousers with an alternative of cycling breeches. The grey flannels, which I usually wear whilst cycling, have caused some embarrassment owing to rending in the rear part. 24th of June 1932. Had arranged to call for my new shoes on the way home, but found I had only about 6 shillings on my person, and after allowing for incidental expenses till I was paid tomorrow, I thought I should not be able to manage it, so I came straight home. Was pleased to find a letter from John Bull, to whom I had written on the subject, that I could obtain the crossword supplement to their dictionary for 1 and 9. I shall certainly take advantage of this offer. Was also gratified for the Ingersoll wristwatch with which Mum and Dad presented me in commemoration of my 21st birthday. It will come in very useful, particularly on the bike, and especially as I never wear a waistcoat where ordinary watches are usually kept. 25th of June 1932. If the weather is good enough this afternoon, I shall go to Hendon to see the RAF display. I have brought my lunch with me so that I shall save any delay. My one fear in having a wristwatch was that in typewriting, the vibrations would upset the oscillations of the mechanism of the watch and so cause it to stop. I find, however, that nothing of the kind takes place, at which I am much pleased. I left the office at just before 1 o'clock and caught a bus from Baker Street Station to Praed Street, where I caught a number 8 bus to the London Aerodrome at Hendon, arriving on the ground after paying my entrance fee, 2 shillings, at 2:30. The programme had commenced at midday, but the main part was not due to begin until 3 o'clock. The whole show was very well organised, although the timing lagged now and then. There were no disturbances, although the papers had previously been full of proposed riots by the peace parties and communists. Stainforth, one of the Schneider Trophy crew who actually carried off the cup in 1929, was pilot of the latest thing in pterodactyls and popped off balloons with a pistol. It's the first time I've seen a pterodactyl loop the loop. There was a good fighting scene between 3 Siskin fighters and a big bomber, wherein at the end the bomber gave forth such clouds of smoke as to appear really in flames. There was an interceptor fighter equipped with 6 machine guns, and which at one time reached a speed of well over 300 mph. There were many other things too numerous to mention in this brief description. It all ended rather early, about 5:30 p.m., and then began the crush. Such a crowd. It is about 1/4 mile between the exit and Colindale Underground Station, and it took nearly 3/4 hour to traverse that distance. On my way home, I called at Marylebone Station for particulars of half-day excursions from Liverpool Street during July to give to Auntie Flo, who's coming over on Monday and who intends to visit us during our holiday at Cromer or Yarmouth, which begins on the 2nd of that month. I arrived home at about 8:30. 26th of June, 1932. Arose at 7 o'clock and set off on the bike at 9. By means of my wristwatch, I was able to tell the time I took and so judge my speed between the various places I visited. Thus, I arrived at Romford, travelling by the usual route, at 10 o'clock and passing up the Havering Road to the South End Road, where I turned off, and along Pettit's Lane I got to Havering, where I had a cooling drink and continued down to Stapleford Abbots, which I reached at 11. Thence I rode along to Navestock. I continued from Navestock along the main Ongar Road and arrived at the latter place at midday. From Ongar I went north, branching off to the left so as to pass through Morton, High Laver and Little Laver, near where I sat down for about 3/4 hour for lunch. That was about 1 o'clock. Thence I passed through Matching Green and Matching to Hatfield Heath, which I reached at 2 o'clock. Then I passed through Hatfield Broad Oak, Tately, 2:30, and Chapel End, 3 o'clock. There I missed the road owing to some misguided person nailing the AA sign Broxted on the wall of a house in Brick End, and instead of going, as I thought, through towards Debden, I found myself on the road to Bishop Stortford. However, I corrected myself in time and came back through Broxted and Thaxted, which I found at 4 o'clock. From here, I took the main road to Saffron Walden, which I reached at 5 o'clock, and returned home by the main road. I had to race against time as I wanted to return before sunset, and as I had no lamp, I should have at least to get back by lighting up time, 10:20. I reached Newport at 6. Bishop Stortford at 7:30, Sawbridgeworth at 7:15, Harlow just after 7, Epping 7:30, Woodford at 8, and home at 9:05. 40-odd miles in 4 hours. Well, I finished up my first quarter's cycling satisfactorily. Today I've been to Saffron Walden and I've kept up an average of 8.5 miles per hour, including stops, which I do not consider at all bad. The weather today has been glorious, though not too hot. This is the last time I shall cycle before we go away to Cromer on Saturday, so I have wound things up very nicely. 30th of June, 1932. Well, that's 1/2 year completed of the duration of this journal. Let's hope that means only the duration of the first volume. As can be seen, I have kept it from day to day and not, as I have stated in the preface, just when I thought of it or felt so inclined. One can also surmise that I have been as much as a week behind with my entries, as witnessed the scarcity of detail during some days. It is surprising how even the most interesting of things disappear from one's memory after a few days, and when they reoccur, one has to state, "Oh, I forgot to mention," or some similar expression. Here, for instance, I forgot to mention that Dad went on his usual fortnightly visit to Grandma's and brought our camera back tonight after Uncle Frank had borrowed it for his vacation.